Dr. Jim Adams joins us right now, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine. And Doctor, we would thank you for doing this with us. We're going to answer some people's questions, 312-981-7200, or if you want to text us your questions as well, but feel free to call. There's a lot of concern out there. There's also a ton of misinformation. And as things are happening, I think the turning point in this for people in terms of paying attention to it was when the NBA made that announcement last night. It was sort of twin things when Tom Hanks said that he had the coronavirus along with his wife and the NBA, and all of a sudden people are like, uh-oh, now what? So let's just start, before we take the phone calls at 312-981-7200, let's talk about what the symptoms are and what the difference is between just, you know, kind of feeling sick and knowing you need to go to the emergency room.
Well, if you have a cough, cold, don't go to the emergency room. There is a lot of flu going around, a lot of respiratory viruses going around, and a very little bit of COVID-19 going around. So every cough, cold, respiratory symptom, you don't have to. If you're really having trouble breathing, if you are told by Department of Public Health to come, then you come. So, but you can, if you're concerned, call. All the hospitals have phone lines up. Department of Public Health has phone line. So there's, you can call your doctor. You can call somebody. Get further guidance.
So the difficulty in breathing really is the issue here, right? That's what's putting most people, as we look at what's happening around the world, we look at China, we look at Italy, Iran, what is putting people in the hospital is they know that they've got to go because they're having trouble catching their breath.
It's not subtle. This is a pneumonia. When it gets in the lung, it causes pneumonia. That's the problem. Many, many, many people do not have a problem with this. So everybody does not have to worry. In many cases, especially the young and healthy, it's very, very mild. So everybody's not going to get pneumonia. A few people get pneumonia. So, but don't worry. Call your doctor if you have respiratory. The doctor's offices do not want you coming in. Even if it's just the influenza A, people really want to keep everybody laying low right now.
And influenza A is the one still in the environment right now?
It is, yes.
Yeah. And it's got similar symptoms, right? Because it's fever, coughing, respiratory distress.
Well, there's dozens of viruses circulating that cause exactly the same thing, the fever, the muscle aches. So it could, anybody that's having symptoms could be due to anything. Stay at home, call the doctor. Don't rush in unless you really have to rush in.
All right. And in terms of testing, we keep hearing this. People want to get tested, want to get tested, want to get tested. I don't even understand how that's done.
So don't worry about testing. Do not worry about getting tested. Do not fear that thinking you need to have testing. The Department of Public Health has limited number of testing, and they're only testing the highest risk people. Call the doctor. They'll work through questions with you to see if you had high enough risk that need testing. Again, so many other ordinary viruses are going around right now.
312-981-7200. It's funny because there was a call right there that was, you just answered the call and they went away. That was the most amazing thing, Doctor. Hold on, I've got
That's
questions
good.
Off the text line here. Because they were like, well, should my daughter get tested? And then boom, no, we don't have to do that. All right, if you have a fever of 100 and chills for approximately 10 hours, about 10 days ago, should you be tested?
If you're feeling better now, don't worry about it. You're over it. Something got better. If you still have a temperature and chills, call your doctor. It could be a lot of things. So I don't want you to ignore symptoms, but I also don't want you to unduly worry. Uh-huh. But if you're over it, you're over it.
Right. And people who are over it, are they at risk of getting it again?
So probably not. It's been reported that people got it, but most people think that they were never really over it completely. So when people are over it, we're seeing around the world at least that people are fine when they're over it. Yeah.
Thinking about people who are going to be getting it, the way it mostly presents in people is as a flu-like disease, right? In terms of fever, chills, respiratory, you know, a lot of coughing and other problems. But what's the duration? How long are people getting this for? And take us a little bit through what the average case is of people who are going to be staying home.
So the typical case is about 5 days after exposure, people get a fever, muscle ache, weakness, and they start to have a cough. So this is a lower respiratory tract. This is a lung infection. So they're getting fever, muscle aches, coughing, and then develop shortness of breath. So that's the characteristic progression. There's lots and lots of variations. So just because you have a variety of symptoms doesn't mean that this could or could not be. You call your doctor. Just a phone call conversation. The doctors and nurses can work through the conversation.
All right. Stay right there. Dr. Jim Adams from Northwestern Medicine is going to answer your questions. 312-981-7200. That's our telephone number. We're talking to Dr. Jim Adams from Northwestern Medicine. He is the chief medical officer there, answering your questions about the coronavirus. And we've got a bunch of pretty great ones, doctor. So hold on 1 second. We're going to take them as many as we possibly can. Mary, you're on WGN. Go ahead.
Hi. My question for Dr. Adams is, why are the measures for the coronavirus so intense and so wide-sweeping when it seems like it's a relatively mild virus that will really only make older people who have significant health issues very sick, which is not of minimal concern? But the regular influenza has been in our community for months, and people have gotten really sick from it. It's very prevalent, and it affects all age groups. Why are we so much more concerned about corona?
That's a great question, because we are used to the flu, and the flu does cause tens of thousands of deaths per year. But we've all had variations of the flu and immunizations, so we have some immunity. This new coronavirus, this novel coronavirus, we don't have any immunity. Ages 80 and above have between a 14-15% death rate. It's huge death rate. Over 60 has an elevated death rate, and people with chronic diseases or immunosuppression have elevated death rates. So what we're seeing is much, much higher incidence of severe pneumonias going on to respiratory failure and death because there's just no natural immunity in the populations. So that's why it's so severe, and that's why it's just taxing around the world, all of the healthcare system, because the numbers are much, much higher of people who are getting serious, serious illness.
Right. Not just that. Not the flu is a simple, you could stay at home with the flu, but the people who are getting sicker faster are getting it from this. That's one of the reasons. And one of the reasons, Mary, I also want to follow up with something here, too. One of the reasons that you're seeing these extraordinary measures is not because they're afraid that everybody's going to die from this. They just want to slow down the rate of infection so that the hospital system can work it, because we don't have any antibodies for this. Everybody who comes into contact with it is going to adopt some version of it. Now, it may be asymptomatic. And we keep hearing that number, doctor, that 80% are asymptomatic. I don't know if that's still a good number, but that 20% that's symptomatic, that's going to be a lot of people.
So we don't know the real number because testing is not widespread. We're just scaling up the broad testing. So we'll know in the distant future when we can test a lot more people. What we do know is the numbers that are getting seriously, seriously ill or dying are 10 times greater than flu. Where flu can cause tens of thousands of deaths a year, this, if we don't take really strict measures, is going to cause hundreds of thousands of deaths. So it's a way different scale that will overtax the healthcare system if we don't really restrain it. So social isolation, hygiene, being really careful about not spreading it is essential.
Chris, you're on WGN, 312-981-7200. Go ahead, Chris.
Good afternoon, Rokan. Good afternoon, Dr. Adams. A question I have is, say I get COVID-19 and I'm isolated in the house. Can I interact with my family? You know, am I stuck in my bedroom? And what can I, you know, interact with my family, my wife?
Great question.
Yeah, it's a great question. If you do have COVID-19, what the recommendation is to stay away from family, because even if you're okay, one of your family members could get really, really sick. Good news is children, teens, young adults, they get sick, but they don't get severely sick. They're not seeing a lot of complications. You have to mandatory stay away from older adults, 60s and up for sure. But if you need to separate for a couple weeks till you get over it, 2 weeks, try to, if you have two bathrooms, if you're lucky enough to have bathrooms, get it, use a separate bathroom. But try to keep the distance so they don't get sick. If you do interact, we are seeing a lot of family transmission because of the close space.
I saw something yesterday on the internet where all important, and thank you very much, appreciate it, Chris, where all truth is told on the internet, that there are two mutations of this. Is that true?
All this science is just emerging. There very well may be, but not really enough is known. A lot of information is coming out that does have to be validated and better understood, and I put that in this category.
Yeah, and another question, why aren't antivirals like Tamiflu working on this?
There's a research study of a drug that was made for a different type of virus. Frankly, Ebola didn't work for Ebola, but it might work for this. It's in experimental trials now. So they've tried a whole bunch of antivirals against this in China and South Korea, even San Francisco that's ahead of us. And this is the one that looks most promising. And the most severe patients are in research trials. We'll know in weeks or months if it works.
All right. Debbie, you're on WGN, 312-981-7200. Go ahead, Debbie.
Thank you for taking the call. My daughter-in-law is expecting a child, and I'm just wondering if this is even a premature question, but has it been determined if this flu or this virus has any impact on an unborn child?
Interestingly, the evidence so far, which is limited, which is uncertain, and you're right, not a lot is known, but it does not seem to cross the placenta. It does not seem to unduly harm or have harm to fetuses. So good news. Now, pregnant women, you know, we don't want them getting it. It's their health that we're really worried about. We have to keep the pregnant mothers healthy. But it does not seem to be, so far, unduly harmful to the developing fetus.
Thank you very much. Ann, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Ann.
Hi. I just wanted to ask Dr. Adams, I am 60 years old, and I am in, you know, for all accounts, good health. I'm active. I'm in good physical shape, and I take a few medications, but I have no degenerative nor chronic diseases. So does that, am I in that category of be careful, you people that are 60 or older, or can you clarify that?
So you know, you and I are in the similar category, and we both have to be careful. While odds are very good that we'd get through it and get over it, we really don't want to get infected. So I think everybody hearing this, everybody on the call, needs to stay away. If you have a fever, cough, stay at home, and even do not go to large crowds, do not go to public events. This is the time to control the epidemic. If we can stop the spread of it now, we can get ahead of it. So I think everybody, we all need to be careful.
Go ahead, Annie.
May I ask one follow-up question?
Sure, go ahead.
ADD medication, I've been told, puts your lungs a little bit at risk for respiratory illness. Does that make you more at risk if you do indeed take, like, an adult ADD or ADHD medication?
So not enough is known about that. I would not worry about things like that because we don't really know yet. And I think the only thing I would do is not worry, not panic, but I would not be around anybody sick. I would not be around big crowds. I'd wash my hands a lot, and I wouldn't worry about things like that because we just don't know.
Right, because contraindication at this point, nobody knows, right? I mean, that's the issue. And I just want to, with the minute we have left here, again, from a medical professional standpoint, do you think that the reaction that the media and that now professional sports and the entertainment world and a lot of businesses are taking, that it's scaring a lot of people and they feel like we're overblowing it or they hope we're overblowing it? What is your take on so far what the reaction has been?
So there's two paradoxical things. The reactions and those actions, the closing of schools, the closing of colleges, have been absolutely sound and necessary because the consequences of not doing that would be catastrophic. And we're just praying that in the weeks ahead, it's not going to hit us like it's hit Italy. But people have to stay home. They have to self quarantine, essentially. They have to keep social distance. They have to wash their hands. It's very, very important now, because otherwise it will spread and get out of control. So I just really encourage people to not panic. We can do this. We can keep separate and prevent the spread. If we don't, later on, then we're going to be, it'll be time to worry. Not time to worry, time to take all due precautions.
Dr. Jim Adams, Northwestern Medicine. Thank you so much, sir. Always a great honor to have you on.
Thank you.
All right. News from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming your way in 2 minutes.
It's time to get briefed on the day ahead, know what's going on, what happened last night, what's going to happen today, in a way that puts facts and information up front. We all have different opinions, but I think the facts are important, and then you decide what you think about it. Hi, it's Bob Surratt. Tomorrow morning, WGN.